Dr. Joel Cabrita is lecturing World Christianities in the Faculty of Divinity and is coming to the end now of a two-year research project looking at the Zionist movement in South African Christianity, a large and powerful church that teaches, among other things, reliance upon God rather than doctors and medicine for healing and hard work for self-betterment. Joel, thank you for taking the time to chat about your research. I suppose we should start with what inspired you to choose this particular topic.
My research on Zionism in Southern Africa came about because it's actually the largest popular Christian movement in the whole region, with over 12 million members. So it's always been a really obvious topic to do research on. And I think what was the hook that grabbed me and made me want to do new research on it, is that I realized there was this whole untold side to the story of how Zionism developed in Southern Africa, and that scholars have usually treated it as a purely indigenous, local, Southern African healing movement, very invested in healing. Church members are encouraged not to use medicine or see doctors, but instead to rely upon God for their health. So in the course of looking into these healing practices, I realized that actually there was this previously unacknowledged element, which was the influence from North American Christian groups upon Zionism in Southern Africa, and that there was a whole story to be told about how what looked like a very regional, local, indigenous Africanization of Christianity, in fact, was part of this much broader story of the transmission of Christianity from North America to Southern Africa and indeed across the world in the early 20th century.
South Africa is a big country, a long way from North America, and 12 million members is a lot of people. With such big areas and so many people, what materials did you use to do the research?
Well, the research is historical. I'm tracing the emergence of this church in South Africa over 100 years ago, and previous to that, how it flourished in the American Midwest. So my main sources have been archival documents. And something I've learnt in doing transnational research is that you yourself as a researcher have to become incredibly transnational. So a lot of the research for this project has meant crisscrossing the Atlantic Ocean, consulting archives and bodies of documents in both South Africa and the United States, as well as interesting and unexpected places such as Uppsala in Sweden, because one of the very early scholars of Zionism in Southern Africa was a Swedish missionary who then retired to Uppsala when he left South Africa, and one of the largest bodies of information and material on Zionism is actually now housed in Uppsala. And in addition to this archival documentary work, I've also conducted a lot of interviews with Zionist current day church members, both in South Africa and in the United States.
Okay, I had no idea that resources were so widespread. Ending up in unexpected places must have meant finding some equally unexpected things. What did you discover that surprised you?
I was surprised by to what extent this relationship between African and American Zionists was so strong and still ongoing. A lot of the time when relationships between South Africans and North Americans have been described by scholars, they're predicated on this idea of a Black Atlantic, so a common fraternity of Black Americans and Black South Africans who find common cause in a sense of being racially subordinated and subjected both in the United States and South Africa. The Zionist transatlantic relationship is very different because Zionism in South Africa is almost exclusively Black South African, and the small Zionist movement that remains in the United States is almost exclusively white, working class, blue collar American. So it's two groups of people that you wouldn't usually put together and see as having much common ground. But actually, my research has shown that over the last 100 years, extensive communication, correspondence, letters, now phone calls, emails, physical visits of Zionists to both South Africa and the United States have really characterized this transatlantic relationship. And to me, that highlights how what we could call cosmopolitanism, or the interests of Zionists in seeking friendships that transcend racial, cultural, and linguistic boundaries, has really been a key feature of this movement from its earliest days.
Interesting. Having pored over the archives with their accounts of the very different sorts of people on both sides of the Atlantic, what were some of the most memorable stories you discovered?
Zionism in South Africa and the United States has primarily been a church that is populated by women. So female membership is definitely the majority today in South Africa, absolutely. And for me, it's been really refreshing and interesting to just see some of the stories of very strong female leaders that have emerged from the archival record. South Africa is often perceived as a very patriarchal society, predicated on the authority of a male head of a homestead, and women aren't usually seen as active drivers and agents of religious change. But my research into Zionism has unearthed many, many stories of women who not only led alongside husbands and other male leaders, but actually very much took the initiative. So there's one phenomenal woman called Johanna Nxumalo, who was a school teacher in the 1890s, married to her husband, and then received the spirit. This is a very kind of spirit-infused form of Christianity, and felt that she had a divine calling to leave her husband, leave her family, and to travel across South Africa as an itinerant preacher, calling people to conversion, baptizing them, and laying hands on them and praying for their healing. So she did this for a decade or so afterwards, before she passed away, and really became famous throughout the whole region as this very powerful and renowned prophet who was thought to be inspired by God's spirit in a quite remarkable way. So Johanna's story is an example to me of the new roles, the new opportunities, the new positions in life that were afforded to women who chose to convert to this very popular religious movement.
Fascinating stuff, Joelle. Thank you. I shall look forward to reading all about it in your new book, Empire of Healing, South Africa, the USA, and the Transatlantic Zionist Movement.